We're back at syndicatednews.net, and we're talking to syndicatednews.net's in-house historian and political commentator, Mr. Richard S. Lowry. Richard, are you here with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, we're so glad. In your first introductory interview, you said you would only come on when you had something important to say, and this is extremely important. On the MCA-Marines.org webpage, they're carrying a poll. They've posted four books there. The poll asks, which of the four books best describes Fallujah? And your book currently has 77% of the votes. What do you think about this?
I'm amazed that I have garnered such a high percentage of the vote thus far. Hopefully it will stay that high throughout the entire poll.
Now, how did you come to be interested in recording the history of the global war on terror?
I've always been interested in current events in history, but it wasn't until America's liberation of Kuwait nearly 20 years ago to the day from right now in Operation Desert Storm that I started conducting serious research. Many of your viewers and listeners will remember watching the first primetime war on their television sets 20 years ago. But when it was all said and done, the media really did not tell us much about what happened on the ground. I sat there myself wondering what went on in the 100 hours of the ground war, but the media just jumped from the liberation of Kuwait City to the release of the American POWs and then to the uprising in southern Iraq, and they never really told us what happened. So I set out to find out. I sent letters to the commanding generals of every ground unit, and nearly every general responded, and they sent me more information than I could ever handle. They sent me reams and reams and reams of reports and documents that had been generated during the war. They were all very, very proud of what had happened in the liberation of Kuwait, and they wanted me to know. What I found out after combing through all of those documents is that many people believe that we bombed the living daylights out of Iraq for 6 weeks, and then our troops did nothing more than roll in to collect prisoners and round up all the surrendering Iraqis. Nothing could be farther from the truth. One of the largest armor battles in history took place in Desert Storm, and in some cases, the Iraqis actually counterattacked our forces. Of course, our victory was overwhelming, and after much research and many, many years, 11 years of researching and writing, I put together the story in my first book, The Gulf War Chronicles.
Richard, 11 years. Why did it take you so long?
Well, I had a real job in the 90s. I was running and building my consulting company. So my Desert Storm research took a back seat to my daytime job. It wasn't until 9/11 that I decided to dedicate my life to telling the stories of America's sons and daughters at war in the 21st century. And I finally published The Gulf War Chronicles in 2002. I immediately set out to gather research for the coming fight in 2003, and I decided to write a sequel to the Gulf War Chronicles. I wanted to tell the story of Operation Iraqi Freedom.
So did you write to the generals again?
Yes, I did. But this time I had a completely different response. Only two responded. Seems that they weren't quite as interested. The two generals that didn't respond were a Marine Corps general, Brigadier General Richard Natonski, and Major General David Petraeus. General Natonski invited me to come to Camp Lejeune and speak with his Marines about their operations in the Battle of Nasiriyah. And I went and I spoke to them in October, and I walked away after spending a day talking to these Marines, knowing that I had to tell the story of Task Force Tarawa's fight in Nasiriyah. My book tells the real story of what happened to Jessica Lynch and the soldiers of her unit. I did this book much more quickly. This time it only took 3 years to research and write Marines in the Garden of Eden, which I published in 2006. I'm very proud of this work. Recently, General Natonski told me Marines in the Garden of Eden is the definitive work on the battle for Nasiriyah, and it is really the story of the young men and women who fought that fight.
Now, you said that you wanted to tell the story of Operation Iraqi Freedom, but you ended up writing about a single battle. Did you continue looking for stories to write about?
Desert Storm lasted only several weeks. It was relatively easy to chronicle the entire fight in a single book. I had no idea that Operation Iraqi Freedom would last as long as it did. But even in 2003, I could see that it would be impossible to record the entire story in a single volume. So even while I was working on Marines of the Garden of Eden, I was thinking about my next book. I had several fits and starts after Marines in the Garden of Eden. For one reason or another, my research ran into dead ends and two or three different stories. Then in the fall of 2007, I visited Lieutenant General Natonsky in his office in the Pentagon. I had not seen him since Marines in the Garden of Eden had come out on bookshelves. He had been promoted to Major General after our visit in Camp Lejeune, and was then given command of the 1st Marine Division, which had returned to Iraq. General Natonsky was in command during the fight to free Fallujah in the fall of 2004. This was our first opportunity to visit since the publication of the book and his return from Iraq. We talked for nearly an hour, and at the end of our conversation, he said to me, "Richard, you ought to write a book about Fallujah." There were already several books on the store shelves about Fallujah, including No True Glory and We Were One. I said to General Natonsky, I said, "That story's already been told." And he came back with, "No, it hasn't." So I immediately set out to start my interviews and research for New Dawn, The Battles for Fallujah. Boy, was General Natonsky right. Take a look at the results of the current poll by the Marine Corps Association. It appears that there was much more story to be told, and I told it in New Dawn.
Now, what's next, Richard?
I'm looking at shifting my focus to the fight in Afghanistan. And I have two projects that I've started that are on the drawing boards right now. And one is my first novel. And it's going to be titled Codename Scarlet. And it will be about an American military operation to capture or kill Osama bin Laden. Because there's going to be many stories about special forces operations that special forces community does not want me to provide their real name.
Of course.
So most of the stories in the book are going to be actually real, but they will be presented in a fictional format. And I'm working on my next nonfiction book as well, and it's going to be on Afghanistan, Kandahar, 2001, 2006, and now. And its working title is Dust to Dust.
And I have to ask you, because everyone asks me, you're the only one who's qualified, really, to give a proper assessment of what's going on in Egypt. Give us your snippet on what you see there.
I was really surprised today to see such a peaceful environment all day today with over 200,000 Egyptians demonstrating and showing up in the Liberation Square. It appears that the Egyptian government is moderating itself some and trying to calm the situation. After a couple of days of violence, this is very, very encouraging. Hopefully they can move toward free and fair elections and come out of the era that they've been living in under the rule of a dictator.
Thank you, Richard. We really appreciate your opinion and your assessment and political analysis of the current situation in Egypt. Well, you heard it here first from Richard S. Lowry, the 2011 nominee for the Pulitzer Prize in History. And we thank you so much. And of course, as always, we will not bother you unless something grand is happening on the forefront and we need your opinion and your viewpoint on it. Thank you so much.
Feel free to bother me anytime. I enjoy being with and I'm proud to be part of your organization. Syndicated News Net. If you don't have it, get it.
Thank you, Richard.